2020. So we heard on another podcast with like 538, they did, they picked who they thought were going to be the most likely people to win the Democratic nomination in 2020. And I couldn't find, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, we have a list of the pool that they were using to make their picks. And this will be a little catch-as-catch-can because it's hard to, the way it's laid out, it's hard to see who their top picks won. This is from their September one. And I'm going to combine this with what I remember from the one they did most recently. And I'm glad they did it. You know, of course, we all agree it's silly to talk about 2020, but we're also thinking about it, I think, to be fair. And you know, you guys mentioned Elizabeth Warren is raising money. I'll go with what you guys know. Like, the candidates are already thinking about this. I wish that somebody could go back and look at 2005, you know, like, or, you know, January 2006, December 2005.
Who were the candidates? Yeah.
Who was talking about Barack Obama then?
Yeah.
I mean, he had had his big speech, but I'm
he just came curious. Out of nowhere.
He did come out of nowhere. Yeah.
Or even go to.
It's totally inconsequential. Can we just name our top three?
You want top three?
Yeah. Maybe top five.
I have a hard time without like looking at the list because I don't have it.
Yeah, I don't. I was literally actually thinking about this the other day. Because I talk with people and I like they're like yeah Joe Biden or yeah Elizabeth Warren and I'm like
I find that yeah whatever yeah because I would say I have a hard time because I don't have a good pool to draw from. I'm just thinking of who are major Democratic figures I know. Can we critique theirs? So I know that in their most recent December they had Kirsten Gillibrand for sure as number one. I'll tell you who they're like three or four high
ones.
I'll tell
you who high ones. I think
let me finish. So Kirsten Gillibrand was one of their maybe the number one. And then Kamala Harris was high up, Bernie Sanders was high up, and Joe Biden. Like, those four. So let's just do with those four. I don't know the exact order the 538 people had. So say what you want to say. Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand. Let's not even rank. Let's just say that that's top tier. Who's the fourth one I said? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, and...
Warren.
Bernie Sanders. They didn't have Warren. She was like in their second tier.
Yeah, she's not second tier.
Well, but just what do you think about those four?
I'm sorry, could you say them again?
Fucking ADD. Kirsten Gillibrand, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. That those are four top tier candidates. Throw in Elizabeth Warren if you want. That's fine.
Yeah. Top five. I'd say that's a pretty accurate top five, honestly.
So accurate in terms of those are the people who are most likely to be in a position to be strong contenders.
I think the strongest candidate hasn't not even popped up yet.
Hmm. Okay, but maybe I'm not asking a question. So I'm talking about my preference. I do not want to see Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders. Like, these guys are like 175 years old.
Yep.
They're just too old. Yep. And Joe Biden, like, I appreciate he's got a certain like common touch, but like, you know, he fucking plagiarized. What did he plagiarize? I can't even remember.
It's just not Joe or Bernie. We know that.
And Bernie Sanders is like 103. I mean, I love him. He was an amazing, you know, I will forever love Bernie Sanders for making it possible to talk about, you know, socialism and socialist ideals without bringing up the specter of communism and Stalin. Like, that's a turning point in American politics.
Yeah, definitely. As far as I'm concerned. I mean, but, I love Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely. But, you know, his time has come and gone. Like,
yeah. No, he's great, and he is not a 2020 contender.
And, you know...
Castro.
I don't know who Julian Castro is. Tell me about him.
There are two brothers out of Texas, Joaquin and... I forget the other one.
Julian, I think?
Julian,
I think.
Yeah, Julian. Yeah, Julian. Anyway, up-and-coming, rising stars, have the demographic to bring in the Hispanic vote. State rep, federal rep. I think one was in the Obama administration.
You're not saying this well because it sounds like you're saying, I'll take either brother. They're both Latino. I don't give a fuck.
Well, look them up. They're kind of that good.
Do you know how bad that sounds? That's worse than the spade. Yeah. It sounds like you're saying, as long as they're brown and they're plausible, I'm for them.
Well, you're right. I mean, now that you say it that way.
You know, I've actually met Julian, and he struck me as actually extremely... I think he was the Health and Human Services.
Yeah.
Or no. I think maybe HUD. I think he did HUD.
Under Obama.
I think under...
there's no mixer in that.
He's drinking straight Tanqueray.
You say it weird. Tanqueray.
Tanqueray.
Tanqueray, that's what I said.
No, Tanqueray.
Anyway, I think the Democratic candidate for 2020 is not even being talked about.
You know, I agree with Chip.
No. What do you think of those five? So you guys agree with me that Bernie and Joe
are done.
Yeah. Kristen Gillibrand, you started.
I like Kristen, and I like Kamala Harris too.
Yeah. But there's not enough seasoning there for me, to be honest.
So you want somebody with experience?
Oh God, yeah.
But what?
Whoever is going to be the Democratic nominee for president in 2020 better know what they better be seasoned veterans because it's going to be nasty.
I have one
more. It could be the nastiest election ever.
My favorite Irish politician, Obama.
Obama.
He was not seasoned.
Yeah, but he's Southside Chicago seasoned.
Yeah, you can't quite beat that.
No, we're so colored by the fact that he won our view of him. Like, we have to try and put ourselves in the mindset of 2005.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But then Dwayne The Rock Johnson, huh?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe
Oprah Winfrey would actually?
I think Oprah Winfrey.
Are we really in a celebrity culture right now? Can I have some time?
Yeah, we are.
We're celebrities.
Live it.
Like, if you have an Instagram following, you're a legitimate contender.
I mean, I'm interested in this conversation. I'm a little bit like, weren't politicians always celebrities? Like, I'm not quite sure what the parameters of celebrity are. Are you saying somebody who's famous without having merit is like a Kardashian? Well,
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is.
I mean, he has merit. I mean, he's a talent.
Oprah Winfrey actually has an incredible merit.
They have a lot of talent.
She's more than a talk show host, man. She has a network.
Yeah.
She knows how to run an organization.
Look what she's done for books. Look what she's done for people being interested in books. So I hear what you're saying, right? Like, is it?
I saw her speak at my brother's graduation. She's awesome.
I think celebrity.
She's inspiring.
There's two critiques about celebrity. I think one is. You know, like people who are moving from media and entertainment into areas about which they don't know what they're talking about. Like, that's one critique. And the other is, so let's call that the dilettante critique, right? You're just trying, you know, you're Ben Affleck and you were really popular and you think that translated into another arena. Yeah. The other one is the weird, you know, internet thing. The Paris Hilton's the Kim. My son the other day was like, "Who's Paris Hilton?" And I was like, "Thank God,
really, yeah." Really?
Yeah. I was like, "She made Kim Kardashian possible." So those are people who are famous for no real reason.
Yeah.
So which one is the critique of Oprah for you? That she doesn't have experience that translates into politics, or she doesn't because she has merit. You would agree with that?
Yeah, I don't. I actually don't have a problem with her at all. I just think you know, there's a lot of people out there. They say it takes 10,000 hours of practicing or studying
to be an expert.
We have a lot of experts in public policy. We have a lot of experts in foreign policy. We have a lot of experts. Why aren't we just putting people in charge who studied the issue?
No, but listen to what you're saying. But what should the president be an expert in? I mean, this is such a singular thing. Like, being an expert in Middle East policy.
Leadership and administration.
Statesman.
Yeah, statesman. Or woman.
But see, the fucked up thing is, it's an expert, I would say, and this is why Trump won, in messaging and branding to get elected, and it's a different set of competencies to govern.
I think, you know, the hate mongering and the fear mongering, that's been going on in human centuries. Trump didn't do anything new. You go back, make America great again, that's 80 years old.
I'm going to quote myself, he's not a bug in the system.
Yeah, this is not.
But
so,
I'm quoting somebody else. I don't remember who it is.
But I, you know, the point is if you want to do what Trump did, you're going to win some elections if you're going to go down that low, you know, the fear and hate road.
I think it's also, I feel like we always put an asterisk that, like, he won for those reasons, and he won because of the Electoral College, and he won because of voters.
I think he won because of the changing demographic.
But you know what I mean? Like, I get frustrated sometimes in these sort of, what should we do now, when people look at Trump's win and they're like, oh, well, we got to trace the white working class voter. I mean, maybe that's a good political strategy, whatever. But I'm just saying, like,
we're just going to write it out.
No. But hear what I'm saying. Like we should always understand that part of the Republican win of 2016 were these things that they've been working for a long time, the gerrymandering, the other things. And so we shouldn't overread his messaging and who he was as a reality TV star without taking that other piece. For sure that was part of it. But anyway, that's another topic.
I would say, you know, the last 5 and 10 years especially, you know, you see messages in the media about the changing demographics of America. White people will be the minority population in 20 years. And I think Trump, you know, the whole Trump phenomena is white people are afraid of black and brown people taking over the country, which is inevitably going to happen in 20 years. Period.
We're getting off topic, but earlier you guys mentioned Trump. No, Trump, you're not. I'm about to go further off topic.
Okay.
You're off topic. Let me go further.
Sorry. We're getting off topic again. Well, not yet, but I'm about to. We're about to get off topic.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Stop.
Wait.
Don't hit. What?
Wait. Stop.
Can I ask you to do something? can I grope you?
No. Tom Carey, what have you done to this podcast?
I went kind of all chips in on Bernie without knowing a lot about his policy positions or him, because I just felt like
you bought into the anti-Hillary.
No.
Was it an anti-Hillary?
Fuck off.
No, I'm serious. Was it anti?
No, it was not an anti-Hillary.
It was pro-Bernie.
Yes.
I've always been pro-Bernie.
It was about someone who was willing to run on economic populism and not kowtow to this idea that we had to suck up to the economic elites to ever win as Democrats. It was, it was an anti-Clinton, like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton to a certain extent. But I don't know. This is like psychology. I feel like last time you were trying to put me into my sexist box. Like if I do something sexist, I will own it. But wait for me to do it. Okay. don't judge me of pre-crime. You minority report aficionado.
He's so mad.
Anyway,
you know, the last time we had an argument about Bernie, it was great material.
Shut up. I would be all chips in on somebody who was...
Elizabeth Warren!
Shut the fuck up. Let me finish my sentence. Who says... I'd be all chips in on somebody who says, you know what? We will cut the military in half.
I'm taking the last...
Cut the military in half. Because that's one of those things that like doesn't get talked about enough. And we all know... Just cut the goddamn military in half.
It's already easy.
Cut the military in half.
You saw it yourself a couple months ago. It was not even it wasn't even a half an hour story about, you know, the Congress approved the $800 million or billion.
Right.
We're like,
we can't afford health insurance for children, and we're buying goddamn F-101 fighters that have one part in every district. Because we have this military, which Eisenhower, that flaming liberal Eisenhower, warned us about the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
And we can't even have a conversation about
it. You talk about...
We are the frog who is in the water and the bubbles are popping all around us. So we're like, what a nice jacuzzi.
And yeah. And well, you
this
know,
is just lovely, isn't it?
100 million to feed kids, another couple hundred million to make sure that old people have heat in the winter. That's a fucking problem. But hundreds of billions... Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times the amount of money that they want to save spending feeding children or having...
Yeah. Hundreds of amounts of money that solve these problems.
I'd like to look at the vote totals. Every Democrat voted for it, too.
See,
we're just as complicit.
Where was Bernie on military spending, do you know?
I think he voted against that.
I mean, if he did, there were maybe five of us, maybe five Dems voted against
him. Yeah,
it.
But he was also the only one that voted against the Patriot Act.
Piece of glitter under
yeah,
the right
he's
eye.
Got a. Really, I thought he was crying, actually.
I did too. It's really pretty effective. Is that like. No, it's
no,
your
other
eye.
Eye.
It's
it's
really?
Like your tiny little, like 1% of you that wants to be a village person.
Dude.
He's the political operative.
But do you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine, like.
Can you imagine all
no,
the
no,
village
no.
people in
no,
jail?
No, no. Yeah. No, just.
Get that off of my.
Just somebody
theater.
Say. I thought about this.
Stop
I thought
it.
About. You know, to me, it's the weapon system.
You just
like,
flick
yeah.
it?
I wouldn't necessarily.
Like a booger?
I wouldn't necessarily, like, I would need to look at the numbers, but I wouldn't necessarily cut the number of the people in the military. Because if anything, I think, especially with terrorism and asymmetrical warfare,
no, I mean,
we need to invest in humans.
I'm okay with the military
it's
and the people.
Friggin' weapon systems.
How many bombs do you think we drop a day right now?
I don't know. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love it when you have factoids.
50.
We drop a lot of. It depends on the day. We can drop. We're at
of course it
every,
depends on the day.
Every day
give me
we're
the
drop,
average.
We're, it's about 50 a day. We just randomly bomb and a bomb.
Like training.
A bomb is worth $10 million.
I don't know.
Do you remember when they released all those tomahawks? It was like $1 million a piece.
$1 million.
And we released 50 of them just because Trump wanted to.
It's worse.
We don't even talk about that
fucking,
anymore.
You know, $100 million a day just dropping shit.
Imagine if your tax return. You know, you were like, let's say you're going to pay $5,000 this year, and then in it said, and $2,000 of that goes to the military,
mm-hmm.
and 10 cents goes to poor people in other countries. Like mm-hmm. I love little things like that. Like imagine what that would do to people, like to their awareness.
They'd be
like,
crazy.
This is your tax bill, and you know this was the military.
For
this,
every dollar you spend, 20
this,
cents.
This much.
20 cents of it goes to.
I would love to have a tax system where you could opt in to certain. You could have like 10 check boxes, and you could opt in like education, infrastructure.
Wow.
And you could check where you wanted your.
I mean, because
you know half the people in this country
would
check military.
Yeah.
So you know it would balance out.
How
but then you would have
do
the comfort.
Do you think it would balance out, actually?
Oh,
you
God.
Know, like part, at first my thought was like, oh my God, no, like that's like the rule of the mob. We can't possibly have that, like if you're going to run a government. But then I stopped myself and I was like, you know, because we talk about the vote, like like we vote for representatives who then make decisions about all these resources that we hand over to them. Mm-hmm. But like, imagine the center, right, left coalition that would get behind that. Like
you
that
could pick where you.
Did you just invent that now?
Or yeah, well, I've been thinking about it for a while.
Like, imagine how many moderates and kind of libertarian Republicans would be like, fuck yeah. You United can't withhold, because some of these anti-tax people are like, well, who's going to pay? I'm like, no, but,
you know. How many bombs did the United States drop in 2016?
What if,
how many bombs did the United States drop in 20,000, the year 2016, how many bombs did we drop?
That was a good year for bombs.
It's a good year.
Good year for bombs, yeah.
How many bombs did we drop?
Do you know if this includes
12 months? It includes
10,000
Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya.
So this is 10,000. This is even training exercises. This is in
war.
Combat.
This is war.
10,000 bombs
for the year. Go
for
ahead.
For the year,
Jordy.
Wait. Just in war.
You told me 30 per day or whatever.
It's 50
per day.
It's
15,243.
26,000. Okay.
Is this like the Price is Right? If he's over, I get a bomb.
Well, so the point is very, very simple.
Yeah, where's my bomb?
26,000 bombs times how many millions a bomb?
Even if it's 100,000, it doesn't matter. That's chip.
That's there's your money to feed.
You said 20,000 bombs?
26,000 bombs dropped by the United States.
Okay, now this is like the worst part. We're going to Google how much does a bomb cost.
We're really deteriorating here.
This is important. This is important because it's important to realize that we're not out there fighting for democracy. We're not out there helping.
Oh, that was in the MOABs, but still. The MOAB, you know, the mother of all bombs.
Million.
That one is, this one's 16 million, but whatever.
16?
That's a lot.
I have 300. Okay, anyway.
Well, that might
16 include million
the,
is you a lot, man.
Fuel,
oh, that's not much. Yeah.
I heard it was a significant, the mother of
well,
all
you
bombs.
Know, and if you include the research costs, you know, I bet it was.
But the point is it's expensive. Not about saving democracy. It's not about freeing people. It's not about these ideals. It's about some people make fucking lots of money from war.
Here's 1,600 bombs at 8.5 billion a day just in Syria. So I can't do that math well enough.
God.
That's $2,000
so much,
bomb.
Yeah.
You said how many bombs?
In 2016, we dropped 27,000 bombs.
So that's 40 million or something like that. And chip is.
How much are you worth, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much per day is chip worth?
It's not much. It's not much. You know, and you add in the heating, which got canceled as well, which is a really important thing right now. You know, you got to keep
in mind. It's really cold out.
It's really cold out. There's a lot of people in low income housing, there's a lot of people in prisons that aren't heated. But we got
so
plenty.
Messed up.
But when we need a budget for war, it gets rubber stamped every fucking time.
Yeah. This is you know, when the right talks about the imperial presidency when they're talking about Obama, like they were mostly wrong, but they were a little bit right because it's been going on for too long. Like, when was the last time Congress actually declared war? And
2016 was an Obama presidential year. That motherfucker is complicit.
Oh yeah, totally. That's where
Come
he failed progressives.
They drop bombs
because
it helps
Nobody's
the bottom
business.
Line. There's not even a reason to go to war. I mean, we're bombing Yemen, which is one of the most, you know, one of the poorest countries in the world, just because we need the money.
The hummus is good.
And the hummus is good. Saudi Arabia keeps paying us for the weapons, so we're going to keep dropping them.
I'm like,
on innocent civilians.
We have so, but you know, we should wrap. But like Saudi Arabia, like this is the place where Trump had a left right center coalition. Like,
how many listeners do you think we have right now? I think everybody's zero.
Your mom's dedicated.
Maybe.
Like every time I see like, oh, we go to visit somebody, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? You know, filleting this.
No, I'm with
this
you.
Deeply. It's like, it's a fucking monarchy. Yeah. We wrote a Declaration of Independence.
Wahhabism is a really, is a nasty particular segment.
Yeah.
Sect of Islam. So, you know, anyway, I think.
This has been fun.
They behead gay people.
Yeah.
They behead gay people.
Yeah, in the street.
And
adulterers.
In Saudi Arabia.
And adulterers.
Yeah, and
you don't even have
ISIS.
To be convicted. They just drag you out of your home. If the husband doesn't want to sleep with you anymore, he just tells the world you're an adulterer, and they drag you out and kill you.
What do they do to podcasters who go over?
Yeah, right. They get a foot in the ass is what happens. Get a boot in their butt.
All right,
I'll take on that entire dynasty.
We should break this
into
two.
I'm a bigger man than all of them.
Well, they're not very tall.
They're not very tall, and they're not very brave.
The silver. I'm going to hit stop here. The silver lining.